I was thinking yesterday when one of our granddaughters sang in the veterans parade at the memorial afterward, how lucky we were to have these people amongst us, and how much greater it felt like to me, maybe it was just me yesterday, that we had this event. It was really better than when Santa Claus comes in a lot of ways. This is really truly love come down, isn't it, amongst us? So would you please join me in prayer? Before we pray, I just want to remind you that there are prayer quilts hanging up here. For those of you that are visitors, our custom is to recess with them out afterward and tie a knot and say a prayer for the people that these quilts were made for. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we're in a time of seasonal change. We know this from the falling temperatures, the gorgeous display of nature's colors here in Michigan, the abundance of football games. We begin to entertain thoughts of holiday dinners. We give thanks and praise to you for this good life, and we know this is only part of all you give us. You are our creator, and you know us. You comfort us, forgive us, guide us, and love us. We are surrounded here today by heroes, ordinarily like the rest of us in many ways, but they were called and are called to serve, to help, and protect us. Sometimes in our greatest need, one of them is answered. And as we are given a chance today to thank them, we're reminded that all people don't have these blessings. And so we pray for people who are left unprotected, unsheltered, and often unloved, both here in our country, but also in other lands. We ask your help and guidance to keep us focused on carrying out our mission, to help all people wherever and whenever we can. We want to be your hands and feet, to help children who need rescuing from war and trafficking, vulnerable people without families, the poor of every city and nation. We ask, God, that you bless our efforts. Please help us with solutions that will answer the needs of others. Just as our heroes have given and give so much, we pray that we will also serve in a sacrificial way. Let our heroes remind us of our covenant with you. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of the one who made the supreme sacrifice for us all, your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, in silence, we bring our petitions and prayers to you with the perfect assurance that you hear each of us. And now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So I again thank the technicians for leaving the mic off during the singing, because you would have not wanted to hear this voice, trust me. One more thanks again to the veterans in the room. I've always had a soft spot. I got a lot of regrets in my life, but one of them is not serving in one of the branches of the armed forces. Always had a very special spot in my heart for them, and my wife and I, for a number of years, went with her uncle, who was a World War II vet, to his reunions, and talk about a great group of guys and their spouses, and man, did we learn a lot from them. The story's changed a little bit over the years, but it was great, for sure. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention public safety in this county. We truly don't realize how good we have it here in Livingston County. We have a phenomenal group of public safety, and I'm not talking about just the sheriff's office. I'm talking about all the police agencies. I'm talking about all the fire agencies, all the EMS, and 911, too. There are oftentimes the folks that are forgotten, but those are the people that answer the phone when you call and get the appropriate responders there. So we work very, very, very well in this county together, and again, I don't think we often appreciate it. I know we don't, as responders don't, until we have an opportunity to have conversation with somebody elsewhere, and we go, oh, man, we got it pretty good. So we got it pretty good. The sheriff's office does have hygiene standards. This is not normal. However, it is Movember, No Shave November. And everybody that wrote a check for $50 to the oncology center over at St. Joe Woodland was able to not shave for the month. Next month, we pay another $50, and we'll be able to put some money towards a charity. We haven't chosen that charity yet, but so if you see some deputies out there running around looking a little scruffy, that's the reason. So. When Sherry asked me to speak today, there was a lot of avenues that I could have went down, and I think if she would have asked 20 people to speak today, you would have got 20 different messages, truly. I want to focus on the everyday heroes. Not necessarily the military, not necessarily public safety, but just kind of the everyday heroes. And I want to share with you those heroes in my life. So with that being said, it's also a little bit crazy that I'm here right now, to be honest with you, because if you would have told me back in high school that I would be standing in front of a congregation talking about heroes, first of all, I would have said the roof would have collapsed. I'd be more likely to be in jail. But that didn't happen. My wife and I embarked on we've always been believers, but really more so in about the last 10 years have we really upped our game a little bit and tried to be a little bit more Christ-like, and that doesn't mean that I don't fail every day. I can make a sailor blush with language sometimes. I can, I'm often judgmental and a little sarcastic, but I'm a work in progress, so we're working on it. But I think we need to know the definition of a hero. So in the dictionary, a hero is defined as this: a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. I think that's a little short. I think we need to add that those qualities are a part of their very fabric. It's not just a one-time deal. It's their chemical makeup. It's in their DNA. It's something that they do every day. And it's something that they use to influence and help others, but they do it humbly. Right, they don't do it because for self-gratification or whatever. They do it humbly. And if you look the back to Philippians 2:3-4, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and in what they are doing. So I'm glad that God agreed with me on that too. That it's got to be more than just a one-time deal, right? So I think there are certainly people who are heroic or do a heroic act or an act of heroism, right? But in my mind, that's a one-time thing. Somebody that was put in a position because of whatever circumstances that they had to act. I think a hero is somebody that truly, again, lives it. That's their chemical makeup, their DNA. So Only children in here? I'm the only one. Okay, one, two. Okay, a couple, three. So with only children, you tend to go one of two paths. Either you're babied and spoiled, and everybody does stuff for you, which I'm sure that's not you guys, or you're one of those people that has to make your own friends and you have to do for yourself. And most only children are very creative in their thought process and stuff because they had to be that way. I was one of those kids that I had to make friends. I was out. I was very social. I was one of those. Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. so, anyways, I don't want to. I had a hard time when I was talking about this. I don't want to make this about me, but again, I think it's important that you understand how my life's journey got me to where I was, and again, the heroes in my life. So, I will start in the fourth grade. I grew up in up until that point, grew up in Lansing. Dead end street. The kids all played in the street because it was dead end. Nobody was going down there unless they had a reason to go down there, and everybody knew the kids played in the street. So I happened to witness a murder. Long story short, the guy stepped out on his front porch with a 30-06 and shot somebody else. It turned out that it was a drug rip, is what it was. The law enforcement agency, Lansing PD, that showed up to that scene did a phenomenal job. Even in the fourth grade, I felt I was kind of mesmerized, I guess, by their work, how they handled that whole thing, their compassion, their sympathy, the fact that they did, even as a fourth grader, what I thought was right. And it was a good experience, minus the reason they were there, of course. So my parents decided that maybe that wasn't the safest neighborhood to live in, so we moved. So then we find ourselves in the fifth grade in Williamston, and one of my first friends that I met, his name was Ken Schmucker. Again, being an only, you couldn't just sit at home and wait for people to come over to your house, right? I mean, you had to go out and make friends if you were going to. So fifth grade, I'm out riding my bike, talking to anybody that I can, et cetera, et cetera. And Ken was one of those folks. Ken and I, just a side story, I told this earlier. We used to play marbles. Anybody play marbles? I don't do that anymore, right? But playing marbles, and he was not real happy with a shot that I took and stood up and wham, right in the stomach, and the fight was on, and I think I got my clock clean pretty good if I remember right. But at any rate, he ended up being my best man in my wedding. funny how things work out that way, right? But his mom, one of my heroes, her name was Joanne. Joanne was one of those people that always had time. And there's these folks that I'm going to mention always had time. Time is the most precious resource that we can give to anybody. It is so, so limited. And when you are willing to give up your time to help somebody else, and again, not just once, but it's a continual way, those are heroes. Joanne was one of those people that always had time. Didn't matter. They owned a business. Her and her husband owned a business. And it didn't matter if they were in the middle of something that had a deadline or whatever. If we, one of the kids, had a question or whatever, she would stop what she was doing and she would take the time. She did that not only to our group of friends, but she also did that with the community. They were very community outreach oriented. So one of my heroes growing up. I also had I don't know if this guy would fall into a hero category or not, because I didn't know him long enough before he died, but I got to believe that he led his life this way. His name was Charlie. Charlie was also one of the first people that I met when I moved to Williamston. Charlie was about 80 plus, so kind of an unlikely person to befriend, but it was a very good friendship. He was, again, one of those people. Of course, at 80, he had time, right? Just kidding. But he was one of those people that would always take the time just to listen. I learned a lot from that guy. Another older fellow who happened to be my neighbor was Floyd Dio. Floyd, very much like Joanne, very community-minded, always had time for everybody. And Floyd happened to be the neighbor, so we had lots of conversations over the fence. And I have a very vivid picture of Floyd Deal in my head because he looked like Lurch. He was about 8.5 foot tall, weighed about 100 pounds. His face was, you know, sunken in. He shook when he talked. What a great, and he was always dressed, you know. He'd be out in the garden and he'd have slacks and a shirt on. I was like, what the? Floyd was just a great guy, and again, not only took the time with me just to talk, but he also took the time with other folks in the neighborhood too, so, and his own kids too. So now we fast forward to ninth grade, and wasn't really much for school other than the social end of things. Like I mentioned, I was an only, so if I wanted to make friends, I had to make friends. So, of course, up until now, all the report cards are always, hey, talks too much, doesn't pay attention, blah, blah, blah. Well, school just kind of wasn't my bag other than the social aspect, so I decided that I didn't need to go near as much as they thought I needed to go. So I took a few days off now and then, and the beautiful thing about it was my parents at this time are divorced, and my mom worked, and she left for work before I got home from school, or before I had to leave for school, rather, and I got home before she got home, so it was a great arrangement. So back then, also, we didn't have this fancy thing called the internet and all these things you carry on your hip and blah, 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 blah. So when the school tried to communicate to my mom that Michael wasn't attending school maybe as often as he should, they sent a letter. Great. We had the worst postman ever. None of those letters ever seemed to make it to my mom. Go figure. So one night I'm about 9 absences in, life is good, and there's a knock at the door. It's about 6 o'clock-ish. Knock at the door, and here's Jan Morris. Jan Morris is my 9th grade English teacher. Hated English. So knock at the door, open the door. Oh, hey, Mrs. Morris. Michael, you and your mom and I need to have a chat. No, I don't think we do. I think we're good. Jan did not ask if my mom was home. Jan did not ask permission to enter the house. Jan just said, Michael, me and your mom and I need to have a talk, as she's barging in. And she sits down at the kitchen table. My mom's in another part of the house. Mike, who's that? Carol, it's Jan Morris. Oh, crap. So Jan proceeds to tell me, tell my mom of my antics. Needless to say, it was not a very good night at the Murphy household for me. Hero. Jan Morris had not only my best interest in mind at that point, but she was that way with all of her kids, and she called them her kids. She got in trouble quite often, as a matter of fact, because even in the ninth grade, I remember this, with the school district, for things that she did that are considered, you know, abnormal or, you know, whatever. You know, you just can't be doing that. Quite frankly, that's probably one of the best things that happened for me. She took her time, her energy, and focused it on her kids. I happen to be the recipient of one of those. Hero. So then I turned 15, 10th grade, and my dad's now remarried, and he takes the life of my stepmom, and then takes his own life. The law enforcement agency that handled that, total 180 from the Lansing Police Department experience. Total 180. Very unprofessional, very uncaring, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm in church, so I'll refrain a little bit. But at any rate, that in the back of my mind starts the juices flowing about what I'm going to do with my life, because I really don't have a clue, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, start thinking here. And it was really the catalyst to end up going into law enforcement. I was fortunate enough to join the reserves in Williamston. You could do that at 18. They actually put you through some minor training. You were always paired up with a reserve police officer. You were always paired up with a full-time law enforcement officer. And one of the guys that took a special interest in me, and maybe I took a special interest in him too, was Howard. His name was Howard Dahlstrom. Howard just recently passed away, but he epitomized community service. He really, 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 truly did. And again, not only did he give time to me, but he gave time to the community. He gave time to anybody in need. And it was kind of the light bulb went on for me when I saw this, because Howard also did a lot of stuff that nobody knew about. And he also did a lot of stuff that nobody knew about, honestly, until a couple of weeks ago at his service. He was just one of those guys. Great guy. So I'm starting to put all this together, and I say, you know what? I know I'm on the right track. I know that I want to be a police officer because I want to be the one that makes the difference. I want to be that person, those cops like in Lansing that did such a phenomenal job. I want to be like Howard. I want to have those qualities of Jan Morris, of Floyd Dio, of Charlie. Those are the true heroes. So again, I wanted to focus on just your everyday people as opposed to public safety. And I know that we're here honoring the vets and public safety, but I think if we look around, we are so very fortunate in this community because there are a lot of heroes among us. There really truly are. People that live their lives to serve others and do it because it's the right thing to do, because it's in their heart, not because of, you know, not because they're being paid to do it, or not because there's some big payoff, or they're going to get a plaque or some recognition or whatever. They do it because it's the right thing to do. So I graduate the police academy. I work for a couple of small police departments, and then I get hooked up in the DARE. I hire in the sheriff's office in 1990, and I teach the DARE program. In all of public safety, it's very easy to go down kind of the wrong road, I guess, if you will, and start to be very cynical, start to be very kind of angry or depressed. And it's easy to go down that road because if you think about it, nobody calls us for anything good, right? Nobody calls Chief Ambergy and says, you know, hey, how about going to lunch today? You're doing a great job, blah, blah, blah. They call him when their house is on fire. Or they call them when there's been a significant accident and they need to come do an environmental cleanup or something like that. 911 dispatchers, they pick up the phone, there's somebody screaming on the other end of the line. That's our world that we live in. So unless you have a great support system, and unless you have a strong, my opinion, strong faith, it's very difficult to kind of wander down that path. So my point in telling you that is this. The DARE program came along at a perfect time for me because I was starting to be a little bit cynical. I was starting to think that all people were, you know, idiots, no good, blah, blah, blah. Started teaching the DARE program. It was kind of a funny thing that, you know, when people waved at me, they used all their fingers. And, you know, it was great. So I really enjoyed that, and that further cemented my reason for doing the things that I do, quite frankly, and knowing that I chose the right profession. So a couple more heroes in my life, my grandparents, of course. They're both deceased now, but phenomenal people, raised great family. When you look up the word in the dictionary, hero, that's my grandparents. And then, of course, my mom. She's my biggest hero. My mom worked so hard to make sure that I had everything that I needed. She spent the time with me to kind of set the stage. We spent almost every day having dinner together. I'll get on my soapbox just for a half a second and say that that's something that we don't do much anymore, folks, and we need to get back to that. You need to have that family time, and it doesn't matter if it's a half an hour or 45 minutes, you know, it doesn't have to be an all-day thing. Sunday dinners are a thing of the past. I learned more about life, I think, in that half hour, 45 minute dinner period just having a conversation with my mom than I ever learned anywhere else, I think. But she also was one of those folks that was willing to give time and energy of herself, not so much to the community, but her family. We've got a very, I'm an only child, but we have a very large family. My mom was one of seven, and each of her siblings had about 27 kids. So I think at last count, we were somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 from my grandparents out. So, but she's that person that's always there. So I'll just leave you with this, and I hope the message came through clear that although we have heroes in our world that we think about when we hear the word heroes, there's everyday heroes out there too. And those everyday heroes are the people that make an impact on everyday folks. And it's also that ripple effect, right? So if you help somebody, that pays off dividends so far down the road that you don't even know. And people don't even know maybe that they're having that effect. But at any rate, starfish story. It's kind of ironic. I've told this a couple, three times in the last few days at different things. It just seems to keep popping up in my forefront. But so terrible storm in, washes a bunch of starfish up on the beach. Guy's walking down the beach, and he sees this woman, and she's picking up a starfish, and she's putting it back in the ocean. Picks up another starfish, puts it back in the ocean. Guy says, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm putting these starfish back in the ocean because the storm washed them all up here. If I don't do this, they're all going to die." This lady, he says, "There's miles and miles of these starfish, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. What difference does it make?" And she said, "It makes a difference to this one." She picks it up and puts it in the ocean, picks it, right? That's what we can do as heroes, as everyday heroes. Make a difference to that one person and then just continue that. Make it part of your fiber, your makeup. So I just want to say thank you again for the invite and being here. And I'm going to change clothes when the service is over and root for the Lions because we're going to the game. So go Lions.